We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And I have right next to me my good bosom buddy. What? Does the word bosom make you laugh?
That was the word buddy.
Oh, I know, that is a funny word, isn't it?
No, bosom buddy. It's like flashbacks of the Tom Hanks sitcom.
That's right.
Bosom buddies.
Right. Bosom buddies. Who knew that would propel him to a wonderful film career?
I never would have guessed.
Yeah. You didn't even say who you are, though.
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark. And Youngblood is just a nickname. Someone else just recently said, I thought that was your middle name or mom's maiden name. No, it's just a nickname given to me by my bosom buddy over here to my left, Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky.
Your mom's maiden name was Youngblood.
It was Youngblood.
No,
it okay. No, just a nickname.
My mom's maiden name was Jolly. I don't know that.
How about that?
Yeah, that Jolly Roger. She was married to a pirate. Okay, we've kind of dedicated ourselves not just to giving you the top-notch theological information, but also just other things that might be of help to the listener. And I ran across something that I think probably our listeners would need to know. Can I share this with you?
Please, we are a full-service Saturday morning radio program.
Both your secular and your spiritual needs.
Find it all in one spot.
This comes from Bill Bryson. Have you ever read any of Bill Bryson's books?
I don't think so.
Oh, you need to. You need to read them. They're fun reading. He does a lot of travelogues, but he does a short history of nearly everything. And then this one's called At Home. But I thought I thought you would be interested in this too. The most celebrated germ expert in the world. And we just celebrated him, I think, a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Dr. Charles B. Gerba.
We celebrate him all the time.
From the University of Arizona, who is so devoted to the field that he gave one of his children the middle name Escherichia after the bacterium Escherichia coli.
Oh, lucky them.
So I'm Jolly. You're
Escherichia.
Yeah, you're Youngblood, and he named his kid after a bacteria. Anyway, he established some years ago that household germs are not always most numerous where you would expect them to be. Where would you expect to have the most numerous germs in your house, Matt? Where we expect the most
probably
numerous?
In our 12-year-old son's room. No, I'm joking.
Oh, we're going to deal with that next week, by the way. Kids, if you've been telling your mom that you don't need to wash your hands, be sure and tune in next week. We have scientific evidence for that as
germy
well.
Germy kids. No, I would think most people think the bathroom, something in the bathroom.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's what you would think.
That's what you would think.
But here's the truth. In one famous survey, he measured bacterial content in different rooms in various houses and found that typically the cleanest surface of all in the average house was the toilet seat. How about
the cleanest?
That was the cleanest. And that's because it is wiped down with disinfectant more often than any other surface. By contrast, the average desktop, so this very thing that you and I are now working off of, was 5 times more bacteria living in it than the average toilet seat.
Yikes.
Kind of makes you want to pick your Bible up, doesn't it,
really?
Matt? The dirtiest area of all was the kitchen sink, closely followed by the kitchen counter, and the filthiest object was the kitchen washcloth.
Is that right? I had heard that about the kitchen.
Had
interesting.
You? Yeah.
Did they say anything about the set of headphones in the radio station?
Oh, let's not even think about that. You know, the reason I brought this up though was for a personal thing. You and I were together in the old studios back there in Clayton.
Oh, yes, back on the seminary campus.
And of course, at that time, Wrestling with the Basics did not warrant their own studio. And we understand that. That was pretty cramped space over there in Clayton. So we recorded most of our shows from the bathroom. there.
It was usually open.
The restroom facilities. Yeah, it was usually open. And, of course, I thought it was because they put us there because of the sound quality in a restroom. It's that hard ceramic tile is really great for sound. But now I'm thinking it probably was because of concerns for cleanliness.
Hygienic reasons.
That's right. They wanted us to be where there was
thoughtful. Either way, how thoughtful. Sound quality, hygienic reasons.
We were complaining, but they were really just thinking.
Just looking out for Jolly John and Youngblood.
Yeah. And, of course, now here in the new facilities here in Kirkwood, in the new Synodical Center, we do have, we've warranted our own studio, which I always thought was nice of them. They gave us our own Wrestling with the Basics studio. Although, don't let me forget, I got to talk to the janitor. For some reason, he keeps leaving his mop bucket in here. I'm thinking he comes and cleans up and then just walks off and forgets
it. And the bare light bulb, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what the deal with that is.
And I'm not sure why they give us all these cleaning supplies either.
I don't know.
It's nice, but they're thoughtful.
But it's a private studio.
Well, but I think, again, it's the cleanliness. That's the hygiene.
Oh,
since we can no longer be
us.
In the bathroom,
yes.
They're giving us things so that we can wipe down.
And we are the only two people I've ever seen record in that room. So.
I know. Well, it is exclusively
it is private.
For us.
Yeah.
That's right. No one else ever records. All right. That's enough. That's way too much foolishness. But it's going to continue because I understand you want to do a series of studies on strange Bible stories. Is that
yes.
right? So where did you get the idea for this?
The type of Bible stories that leave us wondering, wait a second, is that really in the Bible? Pastor, are you yanking my noodle? Is that really in the scriptures?
Well, you know, we get that for the show all the time. Is that really on KFUO? Are you kidding me?
Are they really broadcasting that?
That's right.
That can't be right. This is from the idea. Well, there's a couple studies out.
Yes.
Bible studies, actually. The one in particular, I think, is targeted for the junior high demographic, which really resonates with me.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable with that.
I know. That's great. That suits me just fine. But it looks at those more unusual Bible stories. So I thought, well, you know, I think people of any age would have an interest in that, not just our junior high listeners, but anyone would, myself included. So looking at some of those accounts that maybe weren't in our Sunday school lessons, maybe weren't at Vacation Bible School, maybe we're not all that familiar with, but maybe in our own reading of the Bible, we've come across them and thought, wait, well, what is going on here? Why is this included in the Bible? Or maybe this is the first time we've heard it at all. So I thought it'd be helpful to go through some of these accounts.
All right. So which one are we going to start with, Matt?
Well, there's so many, but I think we'll start with...
well, it is a big book.
Start with the book of Numbers.
Numbers.
But you're thinking... Well, it's just full of numbers, right?
Well, it is. That's what were they just doing a census? Isn't that the whole point?
Yeah,
that's
not very interesting. Yeah. But no, in the book of Numbers in chapter 22, we have this account that kind of maybe leaves a scratch in our heads wondering what is going on. Is that really in the Bible?
All right, let me get us start officially here.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
Okay, so let's start
with this. Now we have to be serious.
We have to be serious now. So chapter 22, you want me to start reading?
Yeah, why don't we do chapter 20, verses 1 through, let's see, how about 1 through 4?
Okay. Then the people of Israel set out and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan of Jericho. And Balak,
Balak?
Do you know it?
Balak, I usually say.
Balak, so. The son of Zippor.
He has the lighter.
That's what I was thinking, too, from which we get the lighters.
We celebrate his invention
right.
of the lighter.
Anyway, Balak, whatever.
I'm just glad you're the one reading this.
He saw that all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was in great dread of the people because they were many. Moab was overcome with fear of the people of Israel, and Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This horde will now lick up all that is around us as the ox licks up the grass in the field." So Balak, the son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at the time, sent messengers.
Okay, well, we'll stop there.
Okay.
So just to set the scene.
Yeah, what's the background
The Israelites here, this is after they've left Egypt in the Exodus.
Okay.
After they've been wandering in the wilderness.
They're not to the promised land yet.
They're not quite there. Okay. So it's begun.
Yeah.
So they're not quite there yet, though, but they have already defeated people like, they pointed out here, the Amorites.
Okay.
So because of that, because of the victory that they've seen, that God has already blessed the people of Israel, Balak is scared. he's afraid that the same thing is going to happen to him and to him and his nation.
He's the Moabites. Is this the Moabites?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so he wants to do something about it. He's going to take action, and he kind of resorts to unconventional warfare here in what he does next.
Ooh, drones? He's sending in drones?
Sending the drones.
That's
a little later.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a little early for that. No drones here in this story. Right. Okay, so. Oh, you ready?
Trying to figure out how to handle these Israelites, who he knows is just going to just destroy them like they destroyed the Amorites. He sent a messenger to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the people of Ammon. Do we need all this detail? I guess it's history, isn't it? Yeah. To call him. So we're calling Balaam, saying, "Behold, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth, and they are dwelling opposite me. Come now, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he who you curse is cursed." Who's this Balaam guy?
That is a very good question. Who is Balaam? And I think there's a very helpful footnote here.
Oh, there is.
In the Lutheran Study Bible, it says, the notes on verse 5 says, Balaam, mysterious and complex character.
Well, thank you, Concordia Study
Bible.
Thanks
for that clarity.
That's right. Ah, shoot.
No, but they're right. He's a mysterious and complex character. So what's the deal here with this Balaam guy? Well, he seems to be sort of a mystic, a soothsayer, almost a spellcaster, seer. Caster. You know, I'm looking for the right word to describe him. He is mysterious. The footnote's right. And like Balak points out, Balaam, it seems to be whoever he curses is cursed, and the people he blesses are blessed. So he's trying to hire this mystic to curse the Israelites. This is his plan. This is a secret weapon, is Balaam, to curse the Israelites.
All right, that sounds good. We need to look at a guy like this. We need to have somebody to curse ISIS.
Yeah, there you go.
There we
go. See what we can do.
All right.
A secret weapon.
A secret weapon. Okay. Want me to keep reading?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to go. Let's see. We're going to have to cover a lot here, but verse 7 through maybe verse 14, if you want to read all that.
So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination. Oh, so this isn't a free service.
No, so he's for hire. So this all this blessing and cursing doesn't come, it's not a freebie. No, it comes at a cost.
So they bring their fees, and they came to Balaam and gave him Balak's message. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." What is that? Balaam said that?
So this guy
claims that he has the power of the Lord?
So here's the deal. I'll bring back to you as the Lord speaks to me. So, and you know, he's talking about the Lord. He's talking about Yahweh here. But at the same time, it's really kind of unclear if he really is a believer in the Lord or not. But he seems to be confident that the Lord is going to reveal to him what to do.
Oh, okay. Well, that is interesting. And God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" So I don't know. Apparently he does have a connection with God. God's coming and chatting with him.
That seems to be the case.
Okay. And God, who are these men with you? And Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, creator of the lighter, has sent to me, saying, 'Behold, a people has come out of Egypt, and it covers the face of the earth. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to fight against them and drive them out.' God said to Balaam, 'You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed.'" Okay. So, well, he had to believe in God. We've got a conversation with God.
Well, sure. Seems like it. They've been talking back and forth, and it doesn't seem to be a surprise to Balaam, as this has happened.
Yeah. That's kind of at this point, I'm thinking this is a good guy, Balaam. He goes, just like we're supposed to, you pray to the Lord. If you've got a question, you do what the Lord tells you to do. Well,
so far, so good. Yeah, so far, so good. Yeah. I think you're right. So, and he does, and that's what he reports back.
So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go to your own land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you." Well, good for you, Balaam. I always thought this was a bad guy. I'm feeling better about him all the time now. So the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Keep reading.
Very good.
All right.
But keep in mind, he's a mysterious and... What's the footnote? Complex character. But so far, so good,
so
right?
Good.
You know,
right.
It sure seems like it. And he listens to the Lord. He even relates that word back to the Lord. But here, Balak the king is not going to give up. He wants his secret weapon.
Okay. Once again, Balak said, princes, more in number and more honorable than these. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do you great honor, and whatever you say to me, I will do. Come, curse this people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak went were to give me the house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God. So it's the Lord my God. It's
Yahweh
my God.
That sounds pretty good, too.
Well, yeah, it sounds really wonderful. I guess I should have read this story before. I just had the wrong understanding of Balaam. So you two, please stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. Oh, so maybe we better go back. God, these guys, this is a pretty good offer, Lord. You know, did you know what they were offering me?
I know. More honorable people come, more money is offered. You know. They sweeten the pie.
And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have come to call you, rise, go with them, but only do what I tell you. All right. So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab.
All right. What's going on here? So finally God says, go with them. But God has a big stipulation here, this big caveat. What does the Lord say? He says, but in verse 20, only do what I tell you.
Okay.
Only do what I tell you. So that's important. So do my will in all this. You know, don't do their will. Don't even do your own will, Balaam, but do what I tell you to do as the Lord.
Okay.
Okay. So that's pretty important.
That is an important thing. Yeah, I would say that's probably true for us too.
You bet.
That if you go to God and ask him, and you should do what he says to do.
That's usually a pretty good policy.
Pretty good policy. Yeah. Okay. This is not so strange so far. Is it going to get strange?
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get
all
there.
Right.
We
set this all up, and I don't want people to be disappointed.
So I think one way of looking at this story is it's kind of a contest of wills. Okay.
Okay.
And we'll see that even more.
Good.
So you've got different wills. King Balak's will, what's his will?
Curse the Israelites.
Curse the Israelites, you know, so that they don't take me over.
Right, right.
And then we've got Balaam's will. We'll get to there and see what his will might be.
All right.
And then we want to keep in mind a couple other people's wills too. So that's one way of looking at it. So far we've kind of set the scene with King Balak's will, but let's keep reading and see what other people want.
Now you've got me intrigued because I've been thinking the Lord's will, but you said a couple of wills.
Well, that's very good. So what is the Lord's will?
Well, he doesn't want him to curse these because these people are blessed.
He wants to bless his people, Israel.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
good. Yeah, not curse, but bless. So he'd even seen the Lord's will already. Okay, go ahead and how about verses 22 and 23?
No, you're confusing me. I'm sorry. You picked this out. I hope you've studied this and have some answers because it says, but God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now he just got through telling him to go, and now he's angry because he went.
Well, that is why the footnote says he's a mysterious and complex character. and here's the thing.
Yeah.
God's anger is kindled against him. I think the Hebrew is his nose gets red hot, you know.
Yes.
So we have this picture of God
when
being
you see
red
God's nose
with anger.
Red face, you better watch out, buddy.
Yeah, he ain't happy. So he goes as the Lord commands, but unlike us, the Lord knows his heart. We need to keep that in mind. And I think it's pretty safe to assume that he's going with unjust intentions.
Okay.
Rather than going and following that stipulation, do what I tell you to do, I think we can kind of assume that now Balaam's will, as we look at these wills, is to maybe benefit Balaam. Maybe that the fame of helping out the king and the fortune that came along with it won out over what the Lord wanted him to do, what the Lord's will was.
Now, you know what? I hate to say it, but you've gone from preaching to meddling.
Because
I do that sometimes. I kind of go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, what do you think about this? And then even though the Lord maybe said, maybe it would be okay, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Couldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, really? And the more I think about it, Lord, it probably wouldn't be too bad to go there, especially considering all the good stuff I'll get if I do this.
Yeah. I'll go with them like the Lord said, but maybe I could do it. The king wants me to do. You know,
I could make both of them happy, couldn't I?
Exactly. So it reminds me of you cannot serve both God and money.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
And this seems to be the case.
You'll end up loving the one and hating the other.
And that seems to be, even though it's not spelled out explicitly, from God's anger. I think we can sort of safely assume that he's trying to love both God and money here, and it ain't going to work.
So he really wasn't going to do, as the text said, only what I tell you, but he really in his heart was thinking, I think I can really profit from
that
this.
Sure
this
seems will be to good be the case. So if we're looking at Balaam's will, it's to maybe make a
buck. Let's do as, get whatever I can get out of this. Well, okay, well, anyway, so God is angry, and the angel of the Lord took his stand on the way as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and two servants were with him, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field, and Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. And the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again.
Yep. Time number two.
Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. So his face got all red too, huh?
Yep.
And he struck the donkey with his staff.
All right. So three times here, the angel of the Lord is there. Okay. And in the Old Testament, if I identify with the Lord himself, with Jesus, boy, so this is a big deal. The donkey can see this angel with sword drawn in hand, but Balaam can't. And the donkey, what's the donkey's will?
I'm not going anywhere.
To not get killed, right? You have to be stubborn, not a safety stick. Yeah. To not go anywhere. So three times, Balaam's striking his donkey because he doesn't see what the donkey sees. And now this is where it gets really weird, okay? Verses 28 through 30.
Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, something he does every week on Wrestling with the Basics.
Yeah, two donkeys.
Two donkeys. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? That would catch your attention, wouldn't it?
And it seems like he's still sitting on the donkey as this donkey's talking to him, looking up at him.
And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way? And he said, no.
So maybe out of anger, maybe it's getting the best of him. For whatever reason, Balaam doesn't seem to think this is out of the ordinary. He just has a conversation with his donkey. and they go back and forth. And the funny thing is, who wins this little argument they have? It seems to be probably the donkey came out on top. A little more logical, you know, makes sense, more rational thinking. No, I've never done this before.
Well, and again, Balaam is a complex and mysterious character. So the fact that he talks with his donkey.
So let's just wrap this up here, maybe with verse 31, okay?
Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed down and fell on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me.
See, there we go. We kind of get the insight there of what's in Balaam's heart. So as the account goes on, God uses Balaam to do God's will. So in this battle of wills, God's will wins out, and Balaam actually blesses the people of Israel rather than curses them. I'm sure, you know, much to King Balak's dismay, who tried to hire him. So again, we see all these different wills at work. God's will wins, though. And again, to look at our own lives, that we too would follow the will of the Lord, and to always look to our Savior, the one who did his Father's will. I think of the Garden of Gethsemane before his death. You know, if it is your will, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. That Jesus, the one, the only one who can do that will perfectly, wins for us that redemption and salvation. So in this battle of wills, God wins out, and thanks be to God. And thanks be to God for the one who does the will perfectly, Jesus our Savior.
I tell you what, Matt, let's begin with this and talk a little more with what you, because I know you felt the constraint of time, but let's talk a little more about what this would mean to us in our practical life, and we'll see everybody next week on Wrestling with the Basics.
Sounds good.